What happens when everything you've feared becomes reality? Lauren Olamide knows the answer intimately. At 15, she's already writing scripture for a religion she calls Earthseed, centered on a radical premise: God is change. While her Baptist minister father preaches salvation and her neighbors cling to normalcy, Lauren sees their California neighborhood for what it truly is, a fragile island in a sea of chaos, waiting to drown. Her philosophical preparations aren't abstract teenage angst, they're survival manuals for a world already collapsing. Published in 1993 but set in the 2020s, Octavia Butler's vision has become disturbingly prophetic, resonating with readers facing climate crisis, wealth inequality, and social breakdown. Through Lauren's journey from sheltered visionary to community founder, we witness not just dystopian warning, but profound meditation on adaptation, hope, and what it takes to build something new from civilization's ashes. Lauren's 2024 Robledo, California, runs on brutal economics. Water costs $5 per gallon, more than gasoline. Her walled neighborhood of 30 people clings to middle-class survival through armed patrols, communal gardens, and Sunday services. Presidential candidate Christopher Donner wins promising labor camps for the homeless and suspended worker protections. Outside their walls, street poor inhabit abandoned cars, pyro addicts set fires for pleasure, and children beg with hollow eyes. Lauren's hyper-empathy syndrome, caused by her mother's drug use, makes her physically feel others' pain. When 3-year-old Amy Dunn starts a garage fire, no one calls the fire department. The $500 minimum charge is unaffordable. The neighborhood maintains cooperation through dinner parties and school schedules, but Lauren documents signs of collapse in her journal. This tension between her clear-eyed assessment and the community's determined normalcy creates unbearable pressure. While her father preaches divine providence, Lauren develops something radically different. After witnessing a hurricane kill over 700 people, she proposes, "God is power infinite, irresistible, inexorable, indifferent. And yet, God is pliable, trickster, teacher, chaos, clay. God exists to be shaped." This isn't abstract philosophy, but practical wisdom forged in crisis. Her God doesn't love me or hate me or watch over me. Prayers only help by focusing resolve. While gardening, she discovers the name Earthseed and its purpose. The destiny of Earthseed is to take root among the stars. When her father disappears, Lauren preaches the parable of the importunate widow. The weak can overcome the strong if the weak persist. Publicly, she offers hope. Privately, she believes their community's destruction is inevitable. This duality, maintaining hope while preparing for disaster, becomes Earthseed's defining characteristic. Personal tragedy accelerates the disintegration. Lauren's younger brother Keith repeatedly escapes their walls, unable to tolerate confinement. At 14, he shows no remorse after robbing and possibly killing a man for $23,000. His brutal death, systematically tortured for days, skin cut and burned away while his face remained recognizable, foreshadows the community's fate. At his funeral, Lauren reflects that if hyper-empathy were common, people couldn't torture others this way. When her father disappears, Lauren's stepmother Corey falls into a walking coma of grief, forcing Lauren into adult responsibilities. She takes over Corey's neighborhood school while searching desperately through hills filled with squalor, death, and cannibalism. The uncertainty torments her more than Keith's death. At least with Keith, they knew. Meanwhile, corporations emerge as new power brokers. KSF takes control of Olivar, offering security for reduced salaries, what Lauren's father recognizes as debt slavery. The Garfield family relocates there, choosing corporate protection over dangerous freedom. Emery Tanaka Solis reveals the truth. Workers paid in company scrip, trapped in endless debt, treated as disposable assets. Her husband died from untreated appendicitis, her sons mysteriously disappeared. The choice between corporate security and dangerous freedom becomes central, one Lauren will resolve by choosing the harder path. When pyro addicts destroy her neighborhood, Lauren kills an attacker and flees. Scavenging later, she finds hidden money and survivors Zara Moss and Harry Bader, who confirm her family's death. The catastrophe transforms her from visionary into survivor, practicing what she preached. Disguised as a man, Lauren leads her companions north along the dangerous 118 freeway. Their group grows through mutual aid. Rescuing strangers from a dog attack brings the Douglas family. They pull the Gilchrist sisters from earthquake rubble. They accept Taylor Bankole, a 57-year-old doctor, and later Emery Solis with her daughter Tori, escaped agricultural slaves. Lauren establishes clear principles: kill only in self-defense, fight together, help each other, never steal. She teaches reading and shares Earthseed philosophy with interested members. Travis becomes her first convert. Shared hardships, burying Jill after she's killed protecting Tori, surviving a firestorm, forge stronger bonds than abstract philosophy ever could. The community becomes Earthseed embodied, adapting to change, shaping circumstances, working towards survival. Bankole's 23-acre Humboldt County property holds both tragedy and promise. His sister's house burned with 5 bodies inside, yet the land offers a working well, productive gardens, fruit trees, timber, and natural defenses. Lauren's seed collection, drought-resistant varieties, and medicinal plants suddenly proves invaluable. After 3 days of debate, they commit to building their community here, naming it Acorn, after the property's oak trees, a metaphor for their endeavor: small, resilient, containing vast potential. They clear land for winter gardens, build shelters from salvaged materials, and establish security protocols. Lauren transitions from theoretical teacher to community organizer, implementing systems for food production, security, education, and governance. The novel concludes with a funeral for Bankole's family, using Natividad's intricately knitted shawl to wrap the remains. When Bankole objects that such a thing should serve the living, Lauren insists on the ritual, their ongoing negotiation between practicality and human dignity. As winter approaches, Lauren continues documenting Earthseed's development, now with tangible examples of its principles in action. Lauren's transformation from solitary visionary to pragmatic leader reveals Earthseed's true power. Her hyper-empathy, once a dangerous weakness, becomes a moral compass. When forced to kill in self-defense, she experiences her victims' deaths as if they were her own, making each act of violence a personal sacrifice that deepens her understanding of human interconnection. Her leadership balances immediate survival with long-term vision. She establishes garden plots while teaching astronomy, organizes defense training while discussing space travel. When Allie dismisses religion as dog shit, Lauren calmly clarifies, they don't need to join her belief system, but they must stand with the group in crisis. In a collapsing world, Lauren creates possibility. Her story offers both warning and template for facing catastrophe with courage and adaptability. In our era of climate crisis and social fracture, Butler's vision feels less like science fiction and more like prophecy. The question Earthseed poses remains urgent. Will we cling to old certainties as they crumble, or embrace change and shape it? Will we retreat behind walls or build genuine communities? Lauren's answer echoes across decades. Understand that God is change, adapt or perish, and remember that our destiny lies not in preserving what was, but in creating what must be.